Honor part four. I'm talking about, if you've caught some of my messages, that's why I keep going, because, you know, if you come once a month, you're going to catch this. I'm talking about those entrusted under our care. So how many people know that God puts people in your life to be a servant leader too? And we are, they are entrusted to us by the Lord to care for them, to build them up, to encourage them. And missionary Tammy Salmon honors people that she has sent to minister. If you've ever talked to Tammy, the way she talks to you, you just feel so loved and encouraged and honored the way she shares, the way she ministers, the way she prays for you. So Jesus served people, and I think Tammy, if you ever want to know how Jesus served people, watch Tammy, how she interacts with people. And ask her stories. I encourage you to take her up on that mission site, whether you have a grow group and want to host her that particular week, or just, you know, have some people over for dinner, right? And just invite Tammy over. She would just love. Catch the vision. Sometimes we need to think bigger than ourselves. Our worlds get so small. But she serves the people of Uganda like Jesus does. She represents him well. And we can learn a lot from her heart and her ministry. So Galatians 2 verse 10 says this, we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I have been eager to do all along. The New Living Translation says, keep on helping the poor. You know, we have a really fast-paced world, and this economy is a little interesting right now. And sometimes we can get so caught up with our own needs and our own lives and our own struggles. We forget to look outside ourselves and that God is putting people in our life every day. That if we can just get in faith, sometimes we're just trying to get in faith for ourselves. I'm telling you, if you want to see God move in your life, in healing, in power, in provision, start praying for other people. So open up your eyes. Go, God, instead of me going, woe is me, show me someone else that may be worse off than me, and not in a judgmental way, and go, how can I lay my life down for them? How can I encourage them? We are encouraged as we encourage others, right? Hebrews 13 verse 16 says this, don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. I know Jesus is incredibly pleased with Tammy because she joyfully, you see the joy in her life. She joyfully makes her life a living sacrifice. Just lays herself, said, hey, God, use me. I'm sure every day it's like that. God, what do you want to do? So Matthew 10, 40 through 42, I've preached a lot about this, so to cut out some things in my notes, please go back and listen to my message. But when you read that, there is a great reward for Tammy, not only in heaven, but in an earth, because she not only brings the gospel, but she humbly serves and honors the people that she's called to. And she never, there's something in the Bible we'll talk about later in the message. She doesn't lord over them. She's not trying to control or push or throw her weight around. I don't think Tammy could even do that if she tried. She's just a naturally very humble person. When you talk to her, you never feel like she's talking down to you, right? You just feel always just what? Built up, encouraged, life-giving. There's a humble way that she speaks to you. You feel honored. And I know she does that to the same people that she serves. She treats the Ugandans with respect and dignity, and shows great value. One of the most simplistic definitions of the word honor is to value people. When you value them, you know, sometimes, you know, time is short sometimes, especially if you have, I'm only finding out with a kid, you know, like where does the time go? But if we can just put that time aside and not rush and value people's time and listen to them, ask questions and pray for them, just give time for Holy Spirit to speak through you. So the Bible talks a lot about the giving and receiving of honor. So the dictionary and the concordance definition of honor means to what? Value, esteem, the dignity, give dignity of the highest degree, show someone that they are precious, show reverence and respect. In 1 Peter 2 verse 17, Jesus teaches us, or the Bible teaches us, to honor all people even before it's earned, especially vulnerable people. You know, a lot of the people that Tammy ministers to and Jural ministers to are in a very vulnerable place. They are in need. And if you're not careful, I'll tell you what, when you need basic resources in life or just safety and just shelter, if the church is not part of that answer, if we, the church, are not a part of that answer, they can become dependent on people that can take advantage of them. How many people know that? It's a dangerous place to be. So we, the church, listen, God gave us the ability to vote and reform a government that honors people. But in the meantime, if they're totally dependent on the government, guys, we should be the church. We should be the hands and feet first, right? We should be the answer. It's important. Oh, there's so much I want to say. I really was. I was praying. I was like, Lord, I just want to cut some things out so we can just honor what Tammy's doing. I think we have a lot to learn from her. So not only do the Ugandans receive the great reward of the message of the gospel when they honor the messenger, right? Tammy also does practical things to help people. You know, it's such a beautiful thing to find a practical need. You know, there's a need for education. How people know that sometimes there's a need with people in our community for safe childcare. It's scary sometimes who you trust your kid to. And, you know, maybe you're really, really busy and all of a sudden you're not busy. You're in a new stage of life, but you think you're busy. You know, God, Holy Spirit, what can I do with that extra time to create a safe place for kids? Maybe just one day a week you can help get them off the school bus till mom gets home. Just saying, there's just practical things that you can do. So Tammy and her ministry do practical things. I know Tammy says, bring bread to the quarries, right? Just help share a meal. When, you know, Jesus fed the 5,000 and then preached. Find practical things that you can do to help them. And if you can't be with Tammy, you can give financially to Tammy. And also, tell you what, Gerald does this 4 days a week. I'll tell you, local missions in our backyard. And I'll tell you, in our school system, there's a lot of kids, the only meal they get is why they're at school. So I remember, and I won't embarrass them, there's a family in our church, don't have a lot, but their kids tell me this story of all the neighborhood kids would knock on the back door. And this wasn't a family that had a ton, because this mom would just fire up the grill and just feed the kids in the neighborhood. Just make them eggs. You know, eggs are cheap. Well, they used to be cheap, I'll tell you what. Make peanut butter jelly sandwiches. But you know, the little that we have when we give, God sees that. He honors it. And it says, when we do these things to people, it's like doing that to Jesus. So I was looking up some scriptures, and Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. And this really ties in with Keith's message, you know. Proverbs 22:9 says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. So when we give not to get, how many people, we shouldn't give to get. But we know the promises of God. But when we give out of just selfless, I just want to represent Jesus. I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. No strings attached. There is an incredible blessing that comes with us. And God says, hey, I'll multiply that seed. I'll pay it back. I'll prosper you. I'll bless you. Philippians 4:19, New Living Translation says this, the same God who takes care of me. How you know God takes care of us? Takes care of the birds. He takes care of us. But he's given us wisdom. He said, he will supply all my needs. Everybody say, all my needs. All my needs. That means food, clothing, and shelter. If you need transportation, he will supply it. He doesn't always do it the way we want it. It may not be super fancy, but he will provide. And how many people know he'll often move through the people around us, the body of Christ, even strangers. How many people have ever had a financial need met by a stranger? Maybe it was just like lunch, or you're just short $20 or short on rent, and just someone that, you know, you weren't close friends, but I've had this happen to me when I was in a very tight situation. I remember I had three people that month that just put a little money in my hands. I was a little tight on rent, and I was like, God, you are so faithful. I didn't have to eat rice and beans every day this month. Praise God. I got some chicken in there because, you know, the Lord provided. Praise God. All right, let's see. So he takes care of me and will supply all our needs from his generous riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. All that we need, there's a song, all that we've needed, God has provided. So now I covered this in a previous message, so for the sake of time, I won't go into it. But not all rewards in the kingdom of God are a monetary check in the mail. I shared a testimony. I won't go into it, but I think it's like part three. But I'll say this, but sometimes our greatest rewards are in the value of the friendships and the people he puts in our lives. I'll tell you what, join a grow group, start a grow group. You could just do a four-week series. That's okay, because how many people know? Whether you know it or not, you need people. Number one, if you don't get people in your life, you're going to get weird. And weird Christians are not effective for the kingdom of God. I'll be honest with you. We're like, love you, bless you. Don't want to have a conversation with you, okay? And also, we'll learn great wisdom from other people in our life. Iron sharpens iron. Yes, people are going to rub you the wrong way. You know what that's called? Growth. People only tell you what you want to hear. You're going to stop growing. Now, there's balance to that. We'll talk about that today. And the currency of heaven is people. It's not about the stuff. It's about the people we take with us. Praise God. So I want to just encourage you, pray about it. There's a great reward to those that honor and give to Tammy's ministry. We can't all go to Uganda. But you know what? When we honor Tammy and we give to her, provide in whatever capacity you can. the reward that how many people know there's a reward in heaven for Tammy? Oh my gosh. I would like to align myself with that reward. I want to align myself with the reward Gerald Toby walks in for laying her life down as a missionary to York. Give in whatever way possible. Whatever way. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Like I said, open up your home to Tammy. Have her host and share the gospel. It'll bless you. It'll bless other people. All right. So there is a great reward when we learn to honor God's way. But how many people know God does it opposite of the world? That's why it said his disciple turned the world upside down. So go back and listen to my messages. What I'm trying to do is strengthen healthy church culture. A culture of honor at York Christian Fellowship is important to honor everyone. Because you know when things get unhealthy? When we stop honoring people in our heart. Because if you stop honoring people in your heart, your words stop honoring. Your actions stop honoring. So first and foremost, and like I said, for the sake of time, I'm just going to roll through this. Please go back and listen to probably my first couple messages. But the Bible teaches, first and foremost, we are supposed to honor Jesus. And when we honor Jesus, there's many scriptures. John 13:20, that was when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And John 5:23, it says, when we honor Jesus, he passes on that honor to his heavenly Father. So, you know, it's like weird. Oh, we should honor our leaders. But our leaders are never supposed to, oh, look at me. Oh, that's right. Give me the honor. Give me that. No. What do we immediately do? We stay humble servant leaders and we go, what, to God be all the glory. So if someone gives you a compliment, oh, no. Just go this. Thank you. And to God be all the glory, right? Just learn to pay it forward, always. So Jesus, through scripture, and I've really built on this, he's creating and modeling an honor principle. So he always passes it on. So when we honor other people, we honor Jesus. And so here's how we apply that principle to our everyday lives. So Matthew 10, 40 through 42 is really the keynote scripture of this series. And I'm just going to read it quickly to review it. Now, without changing the meaning, we're going to insert the word honor when the Bible talks about receives or welcomes or gives, okay? So Matthew 10, 40 through 42, I've taught this in depth, says, he who receives and welcomes and honors you receives me. Jesus is talking. He who receives and honors him who sent me, Father God, right? He who receives and welcomes and honors a prophet, which is talking about a church leader or a ministry gift. Because how many people know back in the Old Testament, the only title they used for anybody that God was speaking through was prophet. The New Testament came in Ephesians and outlines all these different gifts. So we have missionaries, we have evangelists, we have pastors, we have teachers. We have these different gifts that God what speaks through, and we're to honor them. And how many people know when you invest the gift God's given you, there is a blessing and multiplication that come with it. So we should honor people that move in these different gifts. And how many people know at Talent Show, we all got lots of different gifts. And it was wonderful to honor people. Why? Heather preached it. I mean, she was so good. But what? Because it just honors Father God. Beautiful. All right. So it says, if you receive a prophet or honor a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward or a ministry gift's reward. He who receives and honors a righteous, honorable man or a peer of the faith because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward, okay? New Living Translation says, you will be given a reward like theirs. Whoever gives to one of these little ones, and this is what we're talking about today, what the little ones are. These who are humble in rank and influence. How many people, come on guys, this is York County. Did you know we're number one in the state of Pennsylvania for industry? We are a hard-working blue-collar county, and I'm proud of us. Why? I'll tell you what, humble, hard-working, and we cook good food. Why? Because we're not going out to eat for every meal. We learn to cook around here, right? So listen, we're little ones. We're humble in rank and influence, but how many people know that even those that are humble and don't have a lot and big stature and tons of degrees, you know, and may not have all these influence in the world, but we still have people God has put in our path and even entrusted to us that we are still called to honor, all right? So this is, I don't know, this was revelation to me. So when we talk about little ones, the Amplified Bible once again says those humble in rank and influence. You don't have a lot of influence, right? Those entrusted to our care, people that God has put in your life, that he has entrusted to your care. We're going to talk about this. And it says this, even a cup of cold water to drink because he is my disciple. Truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. So when Tammy goes into the quarries with some bread and a cup of cold water. How many people know? Anybody have? Listen, like I said, we're very blue collar. When you have people that are, oh my gosh, one of the hardest jobs out there, if you want to inspire your child to find a career path, I'll tell you, you know the people that, listen, turn that sign on those like 102 degree days on the asphalt? You know what's great? It's just drive up to them and give them a water bottle that's ice cold. And just say, Jesus sees you. Thank you for working so hard. Just give God a little, those little things represent Christians well. And there's a reward for that. And it gives an opportunity to preach the gospel and say, can I pray for you on your lunch break, right? So you don't hold up traffic. All right. So let's see here. Praise God. That's just the foundation I want to dig into here. All right. Let's see. Thank you, Lord. So I want to, like I said, I just chopped some things out because I just felt like it's good to honor what the Lord is doing through Tammy's ministry. We're honored to have her for just 2 months. It goes so quick. Ask the Lord how you can honor her and the people of Uganda. And if, like I said, if you can't do that, we got missions in our backyard with Jural. You know, if you could just volunteer one day a week or just give to her, it'd just be powerful. All right, so Jesus is building an honor system for honoring first what? Leadership. The second is a righteous person of faith, our peers. And the third one we're talking about today is finally honoring these little ones. So little ones are those who are entrusted to our delegated authority. And you may not think you have delegated authority. Are you a Christian? God has delegated authority. I did a 12-week series a couple years ago about it. God's given you authority. So there are people that God has placed in your leadership or your influence. Even this, how many people... let's see this. If you're in management, or maybe you're your own business owner, or how about this? Maybe you just organize a couple people to mow people's lawns. I tell you what, I have Aiden Lindbergh has a lawn mowing business, and I tell you, he's a man of character and integrity, and one of my all-star youth leaders. Okay, so there are people that you can influence. If you're an employer, I want to say this: honor your employees. Can I say this? As Christians, we shouldn't be the cheapskates. Also, don't give like the measly tip with a track, okay? That's not honoring your waitress and representing him well. So listen, if you're an employer, honor your employees, especially if they know you're a Christian. Make sure they have good, fair pay and benefits, right? I'm just saying, you know, people are like getting a little antsy here. I was like, okay, you know, just saying, okay. Honor those that are what entrusted to you. I'm going to talk a lot today about children. Children that God has entrusted to you. Listen, I didn't have a biological child for a really, really, really long time, but God entrusted children and youth. I've served in every department in this whole church, every single grade. It's been lovely. I've learned so much. So when I have my own child and eventually become a teenager, I got some wisdom from it. All right? And Tammy really represents how we honor the vulnerable, the overlooked, the marginalized, the disenfranchised. When you read scripture, Jesus went way out of his way in society to find people that society didn't value and lift them up and build them up. And excuse me. So I want you to think about this, how the world around you, how the workplace around you, how your community would change if we invite what we call the social lepers. The people other people avoid because maybe they're different than you. Maybe they believe something different than you. Maybe they're just a little awkward with their social skills. You know, there's just people that people don't have a hard time connecting. You know, back in the 90s where there was the AIDS scare. My gosh, and we treated people horrifically. Honor. Bring them in closer. Sit beside me at work. Sit beside me in the break room. Carpool with me. You know, hey, sit beside me at church. It's okay if you talk my ear off. You know what? I'm just going to lay my life down for the sake of Jesus and teach me something through him, right? All right, so there's three levels of honor, and they all carry great reward. So when we honor people above us, we receive a blessing. If we honor people of faith, our peers, there is a reward. And finally, honoring those under our care and authority. Jesus goes out of his way to emphasize the special reward in heaven. So throughout Jesus' ministry, he taught we are accountable to God to how we live our lives. How many people know that? One day we are going to open up a door into eternity. I just pray everybody just goes to sleep and wakes up on the other side. Amen. That's how God intended it. He didn't intend you to go to heaven sick. Praise God. All right? So a really smart person said this one time, quote, what we do with the cross of Christ determines where we spend eternity. Our eternal salvation is by faith in Jesus alone. When someone preaches something different, it is anti-gospel, anti-Christ, not Jesus. You are saved by faith alone. period. Now, there's some intense parables people like to not talk about. There are some hard things that Jesus says. Because, ready? What we do with the cross determines where we spend eternity. Salvation by faith, right? However, the way we live our lives thereafter as Christians determines how we spend it. Rewards in heaven. So at some point, we are going to leave this world and God's going to say, hey, what'd you do with my stuff? What did you do with your time? What did you do with the talents that I gave you? You might be like, I'm just a cook. Hey, invite the neighbor kid over because his mom works late nights and all he's got is what's in the freezer. And sometimes there's nothing in the freezer. Just cook an extra meal. Anybody have someone that like that in your life? I was going through a really, really hard time for 2 years of my life. And there was a little neighbor lady. And I mean, had very simple faith. And she'd knock on my door. And I love to cook, but she was just trying to find a way to help me because she knew. She could hear me crying sometimes. It was just a hard season in my life. She'd knock on my door and she'd just make a little extra dinner, bring over a piece of cake. And it's not that I even needed that, but it was her way of showing love and saying, I see you. I hear that you're going through a hard time. I support you. Has anybody ever had someone like that in your life? How much it meant to you? Just those little things go a long way when you're going through a hard time. So Jesus was constantly looking for ways to honor and value people, lift people up. Matthew 25, 34 through 40 says this. When Jesus returns for the final judgment, this, go back and read it in context. Says the king will turn to those on his right hand and say, so he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. The only division that Jesus talks about is dividing the people that follow Jesus and the people that don't. It's the only division. You're either following Jesus or you're not. Doesn't divide churches. Just say, hey, you following me? You follow not. Those that were following Jesus, then he said this. It says, then the king will turn to those on the right path. Because how many people know if you're following Jesus, you're going to do the things that Jesus did. If you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. This is the second part here. And he's going to say this. He says, you have a special place in my Father's heart. I want to have a special place. Come and experience the full inheritance. So it sounds like there's like a smaller inheritance and there's a large inheritance. Come and experience the full inheritance of the kingdom realm that has been destined for you from the foundation of the world. For when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you found me thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. Hospitality. My mom's done this because she learned, my grandparents did this. You know, many times there's traveling missionaries or guest speakers or just people in between spaces. There was a young adult in our church that had not a safe environment at home and no place to go. And my mom just said, hey, why don't you stay with me for 6 months till we get you on your feet? My grandparents would take people in for years. I think Brian Coker, even live with mom, you know, just a struggling college student, grandma, you know. So opening up your home, having a spare bedroom. Ask God what he wants to do with your spare bedroom. Oh, my grandkids are coming in town. Well, they come in town once a year. You know what? You can move that person to someone else's spare bedroom for that whole week. And the rest of the year, you might be able to help someone out and be Jesus, okay? So it says this. All right, hold on. I lost my place. All right. My grandparents, man, there's just powerful stories. Talk to my uncle about what my grandparents did opening up their home for, I don't know, like 20 years? 30? As long as I can remember, there was always someone staying with them. It's beautiful. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. When I was poor, you covered me. You gave me clothing. When I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Then the godly will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or give you food or something to drink? And when did we see you with no place to stay and invite you in? When did we see the poorly clothed and cover you? When did we see you sick and tenderly care for you or in prison and visit you? We forget people out of sight, out of mind, don't we? There is a special reward. There is something in the Father's heart for those who are in prison. Whether they deserved it or not, it's in here. My dad's best friend, we call him Uncle Scott. He had prison ministry for a really long time. Why? Because if you knew his story, he would sleep in the graveyard up here, what's right across the street from the fairground. He would break into people's houses, get a giant trash can, put a new liner in there because, you know, hey, empty their refrigerator in the trash can. And he was kind of stoned out of his mind. That's how they found him. He was dragging the trash can, eating the food out of it, passed out in the graveyard. He's like, I should have been in prison. By the grace of God, someone took him in. No judgment. I got a spare room. You can stay with me. I had a whole bunch of tapes. Back then it was tapes. Maybe give them, you know, your you know, MP3 player. I'm just technically not there, but that's okay. I'm more dry shampoo and coffee than anything today, so that's okay. And he got discipled. And I'll tell you, he became an amazing father and husband, best friend, and like an uncle to me. This is just incredible. And so he did prison ministry because he goes, that should have been me. And honored and talked to them with great dignity, never talking down, never condescending. There's a special place in the Father's heart for people that do that. And the king will answer them, don't you know when you cared for one of the least of these? That just means those overlooked. Not less than, just people that are overlooked in life. My little ones. We sometimes think it's only kids, but they're the children of God that are often overlooked. When you care for one of the least of these, someone overlooked, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you have demonstrated love for me. You were doing it to me. So this parable is talking about those that are dependent in life on our help, entrusted under our care, strangers, what we like to call them, people lacking basic necessities of food, clothing, the sick, people in prison, people that are overlooked and ignored. And Jesus says we are to honor them and help these, quote, little ones under our care. And in turn, it releases an incredible blessing in our lives. How many people have been given a heart for someone in that list? And you've just asked the Lord, what are the little ways I can serve and lay my life down and pray for them and minister the gospel, text them a scripture? Raise your hand if you have found a great blessing as your heart has filled with purpose and peace and love. And we've learned from the people we're called to serve. I have learned so much from the people that I'm called to serve. All right, so where do we start? I said I want to talk about kids. Yeah, I'm gonna poke some things right now. So just be prepared and don't stop listening for 20 minutes when I poke something, okay? All right, so I've talked a little bit about us. Now I'm going to dive a little bit more pointedly. Jesus honored kids with nothing. He honored kids with nothing. Back then, and not too long ago, children were seen as a burden to society, one more mouth to feed. In other countries, sometimes they're still seen like that. Or even women, you know, when they value a male child and not a female, and they abandon that child. This is still going on in the world today. When people tried to blow off kids and push them aside, because, you know, kids do silly things. How many people have a kid that does silly things all the time? You're like, I can't believe they said that. Oh, my gosh, you know, and like they repeat, my mom said this, don't say that. You know, it's okay, don't blow them off. We'll still learn. It's okay. So Luke 18:15 says, parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could bless them. And when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus allied for the children and said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. So I know the different teachers that have put together kids programs. My goodness, like Heather, Wanda, Miss Stacy, like that's a lot to teach kids, right? I mean, sometimes you want to pull your hair out, you know, but we're to stop everything and honor children and lay our lives down because they're in the process of growing. We should afford that same patience to children in the faith. To people that are young and new to the faith. You know how we give a lot of extra patience and care to little kids. When someone's new in their faith, we're going to make some mistakes, right? Give the same patience and care and time. So in ancient times, if someone was given a daughter as a baby, you know, every baby's a gift from God. You know, hey, surprise, surprise, planned or unplanned, every baby's a gift. But in ancient times, and still in countries to this day, if it wasn't the gender that they desired, or they couldn't financially afford the children they had. They couldn't financially afford a dowry, which was a payment. I went to a wedding. It was an African wedding, and just last night. And It was just incredible to see how they honored families, right? But it was expensive to give away a daughter. So in the Roman culture, you know what they did? If they decided they didn't want one more mouth to feed, or they, you know, the kid looked a little different, maybe a deformity, or, oh, I just don't want a daughter, I can't afford a, I mean, it's. I did a study on it. Brad and I were listening to a series, and my heart broke. If they didn't kill the kid right away, what was seen as mercy is leave a kid in a trash dump. And then a slaver would pick that child up and raise them to sell them. A pimp would raise that child to abuse them. And this still goes on today. Infanticide was the killing of children. They mixed it in with their pagan religions of the day. It was disgusting. It was horrifying. And it was a sin. It was grotesque. And it's a sin that still plagues our society today when we don't value children, both the born and the unborn. I'm going to touch something, and don't stop listening. If you have suffered an abortion of any capacity, Jesus loves you, and we all have areas in our life that we have fallen into sin, so don't stop listening. I love you, period. We are to honor children. We are to honor the born and the unborn. And it is really easy sometimes just to vote. You know, and that we check the box. I have voted against abortion. I've done my duty. Well, maybe you have honored the unborn to an extent, but you haven't inconvenienced your life. Standing in line for 10 minutes is not an inconvenience. Here's where I think Christians miss it. We vote, but with no action. And you ask the Lord, what steps should I take for the born and the unborn? Could I take in a single mom that has no place to go, that's at risk, to get her out of a dangerous place? Maybe she got pregnant and they said, I'm going to kick you out unless you get rid of this child. Maybe the only safe place was a person that hurt her, and she's just trying to survive. There's no judgment here. Would you open up your home? If you don't have a spare bedroom, you might be surprised. I'd be okay to sleep on your couch if you made it a safe place. And if you can't do that, could you volunteer and help out in an organization or a program that helps these single moms and even single parents? Because how many people know sometimes through mental illness and things like that, that the father is the only safe place that can raise that child? And if you can't do that with your time, and maybe you're not called to, could you financially support them? I told you I was going to poke something. The Lord honors all life. All life. Every color of our skin, every background that we have, all life is valuable and important to the Lord. And we need to make sure we are not just crusading for the unborn, but we lay our lives down for the born as well. Ask the Lord what you can do, because there are many people in this world that don't have safe places. Pray about foster care. Not every person's called to do it. And if you can't do that, could you open up your home and provide respite? Even just get your clearances done and just go, hey, you know what? I know you got a lot going on. I'd love to be able to babysit and watch the kids while you go. How many people, Walmart's like the black hole of time. It might take you 3 hours to get through Walmart. And then they need to get a new pair of shoes. And could you just watch them an afternoon? Could you take them over a weekend? There is something we can do. There's too many kids and teens that are falling through the cracks. I have friends that don't run a youth center in Red Lion, and the homelessness of teenagers is an epidemic no one talks about. Because if they don't have a safe home, they just run away, and they're scared of foster care because they're scared that, you know, maybe some abuses have happened, or maybe they've been talked down and put down. So they're scared, and what they do, they're sleeping in storm drains in Red Lion. And the only place that's going to take them in is this youth center. And we only have one home for homeless teenagers. You know, the loophole, we're like, oh, why don't children and youth get involved? Because the parents that aren't a safe place sometimes, anyway, I don't want to go into it. I'll just say this, like, let's provide safety. Ask the Lord what aspect of that you can help with. All right. I told you I was going to touch something. Y'all good? Y'all with me? All right. There are hard things in the Word. Mark 10:14-16 says this. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples because they were blowing off kids, not valuing them. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. You know, it's important to keep our hearts humble and totally dependent on God like a child. You want to learn powerful faith? Learn from kids. I'll tell you, you want God to move in a miracle in your life? Have a kid pray for you. I'll tell you, they teach the full gospel in this kids program. Man, they teach them about Holy Spirit and healing and their authority as a believer. Have a kid put their hand on their shoulder and just pray a very simple prayer. Because kids are simple and trusting, and the gospel is meant to be simple. You know when the gospel loses its power? When we make it really complicated and too heady that we have to Google the words that they defined in their theology. The gospel that changed the world was simple. It crossed every language barrier. It must be simple. You know, it's really sad when I'm trying to do a study in the word and the theology out there uses words that I have to go look up, and I have a college education. Come on, guys. It needs to be simple. Keep simple things. It makes it powerful. Matthew 18. Sorry, guys. All right, you guys pray for me. Why don't you lay your hands on me and just pray? Sorry, guys. I was doing fine until I hit that heavy thing, right, that people like to skip over. Praise God. Praise God. Matthew 18:1-6, verse 10. Whew. Mom, will you just read it off the microphone? It's going to be on the screen. Yep. Buy me some time.
At that time, the disciples came up and asked Jesus, who then is really the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like a little child, children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all, period. Whoever will humble himself, therefore, and become like this little child, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name receives and accepts and welcomes me. Whoa, you keep going? Nah, we're done.
Thank you. How many people know you always need your mom and your husband? Praise God. Amen. Thank you. I might have you read Leo. Praise God. All right, so how we treat those that are entrusted to our care, whether it's children, youth, employees, people on our team, or volunteer team, people in our neighborhood, the way we treat them is the way we treat Jesus. And we need to honor people, even your spouse. How we talk about our spouse, I might do this next week. How we talk to our spouse and about our spouse, show honor, period. How we treat our employees, how we talk to them, students, our volunteer teams, those that are young in the faith, our spiritual children, the disciples that people are called to mentor. This term, little ones, little children, child of God, those who are humble in rank or influence, are terms for adults as well. So don't just blow off those scriptures about children and little ones. See how you can apply that in a broader spectrum. Did you reverse 6, Mom? All right, can you reverse 6? I'm partnering with Mom. Let's do it.
Verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleave to me to stumble and sin, that is, who entices him or hinders him in right conduct or thought, it would be better or more expedient and profitable or advantageous for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be sunk in the depth of the sea.
Ooh. We skip scriptures because they're harsh. What's Jesus talking about here? He is passionate about protecting, honoring, and valuing kids, youth, those that are spiritually young in the faith. How many people know that you might get born again at the age of 80 and you're like a little kid because you're still learning a ton of stuff? How many people know this? And we should never get proud because Paul, that wrote half the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3, says, even I haven't arrived yet. But they're learning, and they look to you, and they ask you questions. Don't make it up if you don't know the answer. Say, you know what, let me pray. Let me do a little research. I'll get back to you, okay? But when you take advantage of someone that is young in their faith, when you do them any harm, there are severe consequences. You have to be very careful that the choices we make don't lead those young in the faith down a bad path. And I'm going to touch another thing, guys. Yes, I'm going there. I'm doing it. Never justify your sin. Call sin, sin. I don't care what society calls it. They might call it your liberties or your rights. Now I'm going to go there. I'm a youth pastor, and I have watched kids, young adults, go down some dangerous paths that have never been able to recuperate yet. But our prayers are going, and our discipleship, and they're going to get there. Because people they looked up to or asked about some theological questions, someone didn't look it up in scripture and gave them their opinion that justified their sin. Instead of saying, you know what, it's a sin in my life, I'm struggling with it, God's convicting me about it, just call it what it is. Never justify sin or downplay it. Just call it what it is. Every person in this room's got something, right? We're all struggling with something. Could be language, could be gossip, it could be criticism. I'm going to touch something, so this is my youth pastor one. Oh, it's just weed. God doesn't care. It's organic. It's in a brownie. Come on. I have watched this destroy more lives. So it put my dad's first joint was, what was he, like 11, 13 years old? I don't know. Put my dad on a really rough path, and it made him an amazing pastor later because he found freedom in it. And I think, oh, that's a no. Great respect, right? Because how many people know my dad struggled with addiction? And God set him free, and he became an amazing pastor, that this became a safe place, that didn't matter if you struggle with addiction. God can use you and promote you in leadership because God's got a great story to work through you. And he was able to reach people no one else could reach. 1 Corinthians 6:12, this is what the Bible says about things that change your mind, alter your cognitive capabilities, dull you out. 1 Corinthians 6:12, I get this question all the time in my teens. It says this, all things are lawful for me. How many of the government says it's legal sometimes? Sometimes, don't abuse the system. It says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I don't care if it's legal. The Bible says not to take more medication than you need. Do you hear me? There are things that are used for medication. That was the original purpose. Follow me? Now, guys, careful. Pastor Sherry getting political? I'm talking about a topic here. You can vote according to the Bible. Any medication, over the counter or not, when you take more than what your body needs, we are abusing that medication, whether it's legal or not. And it alters our mind to the point where you're going to get a ticket if you drive under the influence because you took too much. 1 Corinthians 8:9, do not allow your liberties, your freedoms, to cause others to stumble. Everybody follow me. I know, I told you I'm going to touch some stuff. We are going to stand before Jesus and give account for our lives on how we lead little ones, people young in the faith, astray based on our decisions. Now listen, don't beat yourself up. Guess what? Repentance is, if it's in the past, you always repented. You changed your ways. Move on. Stop. Listen, I'm not rubbing anybody's nose in it. We're going to talk about that. That's not healthy leadership. I'm just saying, forgive yourself. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Move on. But always call sin, sin. You follow? It's real simple. There's some scripture in there. It is dangerous to justify our selfish, unnecessary habits because it can lead little ones astray. And maybe you can handle it, but they can't. Everybody follow that? All right. Matthew 18:10, beware that you do not despise or feel scornful towards or think little of these little ones. And important to always value kids and youth and people young in the faith. Honor them. Lay your life down for them. Don't look down on them because you know more of the Bible than them. You'll learn a lot from someone's simple, powerful faith. Amen? Now, I want to say this. Now, leaders, ready for this one? I want you to practice giving leadership opportunities to little ones. People new in the faith, people young in the faith, people that maybe other people don't look up to. Practice creating time and space on teams to train them. We have a lot to learn, and it's very dangerous to age out a church. Hear me on that one? We are always recruiting. We are always training. We are always honoring young and people new in the faith. Now, there's some wisdom, certain things, right? The right timing, but honor people. Okay, everybody raise your hand going, I'm just going to honor everyone. I'm going to create space. I'm going to talk about some practical things and step on toes. Here we go. Here we go. I know, Pastor Sherry's at it. It's okay, I got my voice back. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, whether it's in age or in your faith. But set an example for the believers. So use wisdom in how you talk, okay? Because they're watching you. In speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So someone may look down on you because of your age or you're new in the faith. Prove them wrong with how you live your life. And I'll say this, take a correction. Don't look down on someone just because they're half your age and they want to join your team. Stay humble. Because spiritual maturity is not bound by age. It's bound by the action that you applied in your life with the word of God. So let's not blow people off. Okay, now here Here we go. We're going to do this. Praise God. I'm going to do it fast. I'm going to hit some other things. Yep, Pastor Sherry's going there. Here we go. We're going to learn how to lead others well and honorably. And we're going to fight to keep that culture in our church. So we're all just going to lay our lives down and say, we all have areas that we can grow in, okay? Number one, strive to keep a humble servant leader mindset. The Sunday that we honor my mom, we talked about servant leadership. Please go back and listen to that. But Matthew 20:25-28, Jesus said, you observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their head. It's not going to be that way for you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you should become your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. That's what Jesus did. And he came to serve, not to be served, and then give away his life in ransom in exchange for the many who are held hostage. Godly leaders do not act superior. They don't throw their weight around. I had to look up that definition, you know, because it was kind of a visual one. Definition means aggressively using authority over people. Matthew 19:30 says, but many who are now first will be last, and then many who are last will be first. So when you use your position and your influence to push to get your way into your agenda, you're going to push people away and burn a bridge. Humble leaders lay their life down and serve. Humility is the determining factor for longevity in ministry. If you want people to stay in your life, keep a humble mindset, serve. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. But don't think you're superior than them because you know more. Do you hear me on this one? I want to say this, that leaders, and I don't have time to develop this, need to create opportunities to resource the call of God on people's lives. My job as a pastor, I know I've said this to a lot of people, my job as a pastor is to, number one, hear things that are in your, you know, callings. It's not my job, like, but to confirm it. Like, people might be feel, oh, I feel like I'm called to be evangelist, or maybe I'll see, hey, you're called to be an evangelist, whatever. Then resource that call. I'm called to children's ministry. I'm called to the worship team. You know, if you feel called, talk to Brad. He's going to try to resource and build up, go to the workshops, right? Man, you need voice lessons, talk to Wanda. You know, we want to resource the call of God in your life. We want to give opportunities, right? Come on. That's how we grow. But don't hold people back from things just because they're, you know, not quite there yet. Give them some, you know, work on it. Okay, here, I got so much to do. All right, so we talked about how Jesus washed people's feet, and that's in John chapter 13. Verse 33, he called his disciples dear little children, right? He's talking to adults, though. Verse 34 through 35, and it says, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. This is how they will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Servant leaders do the dirty jobs, the inconvenient things, the tough things. They take the call at 2 in the morning and help pray for your child. This is what they do. They do marriage counseling because that's hard. Servant leaders do not rub your nose in your past. They don't bring your past up all the time. It's unscriptural. If you've repented, it's your past. We're moving forward. Otherwise, they're falling into the same tactic that Satan did, which is using shame to control somebody. Using your past to control, manipulate, and keep people under us. If you've repented and you have, quote, what changed your ways, we don't have to keep digging it up. Remember when? Change your circle. Who are you in Christ Jesus? So say this, like a spiritual mother and father for their kid, they want them to go further. They don't keep you under them. They create space beside them. They pull up space in front of them. Hey, how about you lead? You know what? Hey, you know what? You run with this one. Give opportunity. Create space for creativity, experimentation, growth. Let them go further than you. It's okay, right? A parent's greatest joy is when their kid does better than them. Truly, it's our greatest joy. My pastor in Tulsa used to say this, there's no mess you can make that I can't clean up. He created a culture of experimentation. You know, it's so great, talent show. Anybody, everyone's got a talent. It's okay, right? You know, like, create space. It's great to celebrate. It could get a little messy. That's okay. It'll be interesting. All right. Now I'm going to touch some stuff. Here we go. God created us to be different than other people, so we need to be very careful in our church culture not to force people into the ministry mold of ourselves. Ministry is going to look different based on the person that's doing it. So the culture of your ministry team, of your volunteer team, might need to change a little bit because you just invited someone on our team that's different than you. Different is good. Different is good. So the rigidity of the mold needs to break. Everybody say amen. 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 I know. Here we go. We have to be careful to not fall into the sin of control. Controlling is a sin. It's evil. How many people know that? Have you ever been someone that loved you so much, but they thought that love should control you? It breaks your spirit. It chokeholds you. You just feel like you're dying on the inside. Evil doesn't let you make mistakes. I love sci-fi. There's so many sci-fi things that you just need to be perfect all the time. No. All right. We can't afford to fall into the sin of control because control is rooted in fear. And I think we've all fallen into it. I love someone so much, I just don't want them to make a mistake. I've fallen into it. I get it. Right? But identify it, repent, and change your ways. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So they did it wrong. Sometimes that's how we learn, right? That's how we learn sometimes. Okay, bring them a scripture. This is what God's word says about it. Pray, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Say it one time. Allow Holy Spirit to do the work. All right, always leave with love and mercy, and I'm wrapping up here. James 2, verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. Love covers a multitude of sin. 1 Peter 4:8. Romans 2, 4 says, God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. Go ahead, pray about these things. We need to learn how to correct with love and honor. Proverbs 3, 12 through 14 says this, "The Lord corrects those he loves. As a parent corrects a child of whom they are proud, happy is anyone who becomes wise, who comes to have understanding. There is more profit in it than silver. It is worth more to you than gold." You know, sometimes as leaders, we cause little ones to stumble because we neglect to correct them. We neglect to say, hey, A for effort, you tried, but it didn't work. It's okay. How many people know an exhausted, tired parent stops bringing correction because they're just so tired and exhausted? And then they pay it forward and pass the problem on to the teacher. And that sweet, amazing teacher, right? Come on, Miss Heather, you're a teacher, has to take their attention away from 30 children, and they're exhausted and tired because the parent's not doing their job. Correction stinks. It sometimes just stinks to give it, sometimes stinks to receive it, but that's how we grow, right? Miss Angie, you're a teacher, right? Those kids that don't get lovingly corrected at home and they just burden the teacher with it can be breaking for a teacher that is called and gifted in resources. So listen, guys, be very careful not to pass on problems at home to other people. And here's the thing. The teachers are not your parents, right? But sadly, in this system, they're making them be the parents, which is not okay. Raise your child in the Lord, in Scripture, okay, so they can be a light to their classroom. What happens? Then they become someone's roommate, and that's miserable. Anybody ever had a roommate that just hung the mood with their parents, and they got totally spoiled because they were never corrected? What happens when you pad the fall and don't allow consequences to your kids or to your employees? Oh, we're going there. This world is rough, and they will find consequences legally, or it will destroy relationships in their life. All right. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. "For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes every son who he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes." True love corrects. Pray about the timing. Watch your tone. Let's not be condescending, right? Honor. Do it in love. Make sure your motive is always to build up and not tear down. 2 Corinthians 10, 8, Message says this. Paul wrote, "You may think I overstate the authority he gave me, but I'm not backing off." Oop, here we go. "Every bit of my commitment is for the purpose of building you up, after all, not tearing you down." When you correct someone, ask what your motive is. Is my motive to be right? Maybe you don't need to be right. Maybe God's saying it's not the right timing. Let it go. But if your motive is love and to build them up, pray about the tone, pray about the timing, and don't keep hitting it. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Speak it one time. Ephesians 6, 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive by bringing them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So there's one side of the spectrum that never corrects, and everything's just rainbows and sunshine, and we just dump it on their future spouse. And then they got to work out all their parenting issues. Great. No. That's why they have counselors. I believe in marriage counseling. It's awesome. Done it. Okay? The other end of the spectrum is this. When we are constantly writing and correcting someone, where everything they do, how many people know kids mess up all the time, all day? They do it wrong. You told it, like it's learning a bike. They ride the bike wrong 1,000 times, right? Let it play out sometimes. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, okay? But if we're always writing and always correcting because they're ready, not doing it our way. Okay, guys, ministry departments, leaders, employers, I know I'm talking to everybody. Pastor Sherry's touching on it. Just because your way is awesome doesn't mean it's always the right way. Let someone try it some way different. It's called freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom to mess up, to do it different. Maybe even do it wrong, because sometimes that's how we learn, and bring the Scripture in, okay? But when we are constantly riding someone all the time, correction, correction, correction. I had a family member, not going to go into it. I asked them what their spiritual gift was, and they said, the gift of correction. It's not biblical. It's not in there. There's tons of Holy Spirit gifts. Gift of correction is not in there. Every time you talk to them, all they did was correct you, correct you, correct you. I always felt not good enough. I told them to their face. I said, I love you. I know you love me. You just don't love me the way I want to be loved. They love me to the moon and back. A person, a godly person. Honestly, they love God. But But they just rode me and pretty much everybody in their life. And what it did was pushed me and a lot of family members away and a lot of people they were called to minister to away. I had another family member that was so good at lecturing that you would just go to like a little place in the back of your mind. And you would just be in that little place in the back of your mind for 10 minutes until they're done talking. Because, guys, when we just are constantly talking at someone, constantly correcting them, lecturing them to death, it's going to be the death of your relationship and mutual respect. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, last scripture. We're done. I warn and counsel elders among you as fellow elder and as an eyewitness to the suffering of Christ. Being a leader is suffering sometimes, especially when you watch someone do something different in your department. But he's saying this, tend, nurture, guard, guide the flock that God has entrusted to your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not, ready for this, dishonorably motivated by the advantages and profits of belonging to that office. Some people just want to be a leader so they can be over people. Leaders are just natural. If they feel loved and honored, respected, they're going to naturally follow you. You don't even need a title or position. It says this, but eagerly and cheerfully, not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, or overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock, the congregation. So let's strive as a church to always be but building the church, building people up. My mom used to say this, let your words always what edify, right? Build people up, not tear them down, remind them of all the things they're doing wrong. Sometimes we got to speak life and speak faith over them. But if we're always falling, I'll tell you this, how we talk to people and how we treat people, the tone of our voice is revealed by what's in our heart. When you have dishonor in your heart towards someone over you, a peer, or under you, it changes the tone of the way we talk to people. It does. It changes the way we talk about people. I've had to repent. I've had to do a lot of repenting on this study. When we have dishonor in our heart, gossip, judgment, criticism, picking apart everything they do will come out. So repent. Change your ways, and let's be a life-giving church, not a church that drains people, where every time they try to do something, they're doing it wrong, and it's just, just keep adjusting how they lay things out on, like, the table. Just let it go. It's fine. It's okay if some things look off-center, right? It's okay. It's probably going to drive you nuts, like your eyes are just going to start twitching. It's okay. You know, we had a 12-year-old, put the things in the windows. And wasn't it great they were on a team with a spiritual mama and they got poured into? Let's be life-giving. Even if they do it wrong, it's not that big of a deal, right? Otherwise, it's going to break their spirit. They're going to stop trying. And they're going to stop growing. And we as a church will stop growing. People make mistakes. They mess up. It's part of growing. We don't ride a little kid for every little wrong thing they do all day long. We shouldn't do that at other people. Okay? We're all on the same team, and don't forget where you came from. Because a long time ago in a faraway place, you were a brand new Christian that was probably wearing all the wrong stuff, doing it the wrong way, using language to describe things that are four letters that you shouldn't use in church, okay? You're a brand new young believer. Okay, we are going to correct it, right? You got to correct it, but we don't want to pound it, ride it, where everything you do is wrong. It'll break your spirit. It'll drive people away. We want to be a growing church and a healthy church. Where am I going here? We are a life-giving church. Our words build up. Our actions create opportunity. Our teams are always growing. I never want to hear, well, we don't have a space for them. Put another team together. Why? Because we have little ones, and they need to grow, and you need them. We're going to learn from them, and we're all going to grow together. It's going to get messy. Let's stand up. We're going to pray. Lord God, I just thank you right now. You're reminding every single one of us that we were a mess one time, that we did a lot of things wrong, Lord. And I thank you that we're not stuck in that. Jesus, you got it nailed to the cross. We are set free. But I thank you that we give the same grace to other people that other people gave us. And if no one gave us grace, Jesus, you did. And you're going to teach us to lead like you, to serve like you, to honor the leaders over us, to honor you, Jesus, to honor our peers, and to honor the people you've entrusted to our care, whether it be children or just people young in the faith, Lord, whether it be just people that are disenfranchised, marginalized, that don't have much, whether it's the poor, Lord God, show us how to honor them the way you did, Lord. Make us more like you. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you that we have a life-giving church that creates space for new people. And we have grace. We have grace, and therefore we give it to other people. Your divine empowerment to be more like you and be by their side during the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys are loved. See you next week.